Philippians 3. John, Bojo, did you get the message that you call? Chapter 3, verse 10. We talked about the suffering, the loss of all things, and what that meant in great detail yesterday. And he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The conformable issue is the most critical issue in sanctification, and it doesn't happen by prayer. It doesn't happen by fellowship. It doesn't happen by reading the Bible. It doesn't happen by any of the traditional means. It happens by one way only. And go to Romans 12. Actually 11, verse 32. God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all. Now who is the all? Is it somebody else? No, it's all of us. That we're all in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So that says to you that, and says to us, that his ways with regard to our life are past finding out by any means, including prayer, including the Bible, including everything. They're past finding out. And then in verse 34 it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, I beg on my knees to you, therefore, because of what I just read, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which is your highest service. The best possible thing that you can do is to present yourself as a sacrifice. That means all of you. What does a sacrifice mean? There's no place, there's no sacrifice isn't giving money. Sacrifice universally in the scriptures is your death. There is no sacrifice without death. And that's the problem, why the sacrifices of Cain and Abel are the perfect type. Cain tried to sacrifice by his efforts. He tilled the ground. Spiritually, that's what you do when you're trying to figure out something. You're tilling the earth. And of that sacrifice that came from the earth being tilled, It wasn't accepted by God. There's no, all the sincerity in the universe, everything that you could possibly do in the universe cannot make you acceptable unto God. Your sacrifice isn't accepted because there is no death. Is that clear to everybody? That which is being sacrificed never, ever, ever chooses its own place of sacrifice. It's impossible for you to choose your place of sacrifice. That's God's business.
Just thinking about Abel's sacrifice, it wasn't just grabbing a sheep and kind of throwing it out there. I mean, it was something that he really cared for and loved. It had to be something precious. It wouldn't have been an appropriate sacrifice. So.
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, it's if Abel's blood cried out, then he had to have recognized that the sacrifice that was being offered was Christ. And it, I mean, as we've talked about so often, I believe that Abel was the first member of the church. So, that you present. Present means fully yield. It's the Greek word peristemi or peristemi. And it means that I yield this moment and every moment without condition. I give it up. I give all of me up. I give all my ideas, all my plans, all my ambitions. I give everything up. Just as if I were in that position of the sacrifice of the sheep. The verb tense is there is it, 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 that position of sacrifice never ceases. It's not a, well, I did that yesterday, or I did that a few minutes ago. You never leave the position of peristemi, or yieldedness. You don't yield with anything held in reserve. There is, or any idea of what it's going to look like, or any idea of what that next step is. It's total and complete yieldedness. That's the only way you can present your body as the living sacrifice. And that is all inclusive. Reserving nothing. Anybody not understand that? I hope you understand. A living sacrifice, which it's holy, not, and the only reason the sacrifice, your body, is holy is because of what it contains. There's nothing about you that's holy except He who resides within you is holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we've studied this a million times, but the reasonable is it's a word which means the highest that reason can take you. And the word service is the word that's used for the offerings inside the temple in the Holy of Holies. So the highest that reason can take you is that you present your body a living sacrifice. And when I saw this first, I said, now wait a minute. I mean, by all standards of reason that I had used before, that was unreasonable. And so I had to evaluate the standards of reason that I used before. Ronnie, where are you? You're not here.
No, I was just thinking about this call thing.
Okay, you're going to be here now?
Yeah.
For me, to to present my body a living sacrifice, and in essence committing suicide, was illogical, ill everything. It was stupid. It was not what I had no idea that that's what would happen when I said, "Father, if you're real, that's what I want."
It's the worst thing. That, you know, what would be great would be to hear a voice that says, "Okay, now what I want you to do is go, you know, raise an army and climb Mount Everest, do all these wonderful things."
So what I had to do was to evaluate what I had thought of was reasonable in the before. And when I evaluated what I had previously thought was reasonable, or the highest reason, I found out that everything that I had thought before that was reasonable, or after the highest reason, was stupid, was empty, was vain, was futile. And that's what my experience up to the point of God revealing His Son in me had proven without it entering my conscious mind at that point. Do you understand that? For me, the way it was manifested was I just got bored, as we've talked about. But then when I saw this, that my saying, "Father, that's what I want," then this was the highest that reason could take me. It blew my mind. The fact that I would present myself as a living sacrifice without any idea of what was happening next, and not only that, the recognition that every moment was perfect, and the recognition that no matter what it seemed, that my wants were always a lie, just it messed me up so totally it was not even beyond, it was beyond anything. And I tried to sneak around it because someone had prophesied that I was going to be a great political leader in God's name. And so, aha, that's what I wanted before. I wanted to be president. Now this guy had said, "God's going to now use you for that." And I'm like, "My God, this is great." And so for a brief time, I was deceived. Unfortunately, he slapped me upside the head and made me look carefully at politics and found out that for a believer, all it is terrible manipulation and hypocrisy and sorcery. And there's no way for me as a believer that I could ever return to politics. So that was that, and with every other attempt at deception, to find some excuse, it all failed. It all became what it means. I present myself a living sacrifice without exception. There's no rights. There's nothing that's fair. And the reason that there's nothing that is fair is because if I use the standard of fairness, then I should be dead. Because I deserved the instant death penalty. By any means, by stoning, by burning, by... And every single time since that time, God has put me in places where I thought I was going to die, whether it was in that hostage deal in Lebanon or whether it was when the pain or what. No matter what it was, whenever I said and reiterated from the bottom of my being that, "Father, I accept my death," then the revelation that I had seen at the first was repeated. Do you understand me? But it's all a function, a of what it means to present your body as a living sacrifice. And so every time I believe my mind, then the deception was there. That's why I was telling Pete I had to, you know, thousands of times every day, whenever my mind came into play, I'd have to say, "Father, forgive me." Because I wasn't presenting my body as a living sacrifice. I wasn't yielding. I was trying to predict and control what was going to happen next. People don't like this. This is not nice. This is not a good message. It's foolishness.
It's offensive.
It offends everything that you hold dear.
When it's happening to you, it doesn't always seem like maybe they're right. I had an experience a couple of days ago sitting in a coffee shop having about 5 really sweet ideas. And they were all, yeah, I use that word on purpose. That's the way my mind interpreted that sugary sweet. But I realized what I was doing was trying to save myself. And I knew that I had to abandon it. But it was like, if I did, it was like giving up everything. And I would be destroyed or something. At that moment, it didn't seem like a great idea.
Can be not conformed to this world. The word world there is ion, or aeon, and it means all of the value systems that are in play of any time, of any place in the universe, whether it's communism or democracy or capitalism or Buddhism or any other ism. Be not conformed to whatever is in play at the time and place that you are. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye, here we go, the only way that you are made conformable, the only way that the world becomes what God sees it as. But be ye transformed, transfigured, metamorphosed, made conformable. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is the only thing that can happen. The renewing of your mind. Because in the past, your mind had controlled all of your actions. What you heard is what you saw. What you saw is what you did, etc., etc., etc. Now, by the preaching of the cross, your mind is renewed. Slowly but surely, to see that it's always finished, it's always perfect, God is always in control. He, Jesus, is always Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And the process of being transfigured by the renewing of your mind is the process of what Philippians call being made conformable unto his death. Transformed and conformable are all part of the same word, the root word. To be made exactly alike, to be made as the same thing. It goes all the way back to Genesis, where he said, "We will create man in our own image and likeness." Remember, the image is we will create man so that he is capable and created to contain God in the same way a glove is created to contain a hand. That's image, tselem. But then he says, and likeness. And likeness means of the same nature, of the same kind, of the same order, of the same class, of the same genus. And that's why only Christ has immortality. He alone has immortality. He said, if you didn't come from the Father, you can't return to the Father. If you didn't come from the New Jerusalem, you can't return to the New Jerusalem. That's why the hope of glory is Jesus Christ in us. There is nothing else. And you're transformed by the renewing of your mind so that nothing else permeates your mind except He alone. And He doesn't give you ideas. The ideas come from only one source. They're your attempt to flee from the revelation of Christ. They're your attempt to gain internal righteousness. They're your attempt to avoid the cross. They're your attempt to make the sacrifice of Christ not enough for you.
The renewing of the mind, it isn't like a library and the Dewey Decimal System is replaced with a better system or something like that, an organization. It's more like at every pathway, every turn, it's finished.
That's right. So, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And remember, that word renewing is an incredible word. It's anakinesis. And it means a gradual conforming to that which was and is and will be. The only person, the only manifestation of was, is, and will be is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're conformed into or transformed by the renewing of a mind that you might prove. And what does prove mean? It means to test. That you might test or be part of this test, that you might fill up the affliction that's lacking in the body of Christ, so that you will never again be deceived by thinking that something is going on with you. But you as His body you're filling up the affliction that's lacking in His body, the church, by recognizing that at every single second you're in, there is no possibility of you having a test. It is all His test, and He passed the test. And so you, because look, that you might prove, test, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The good, acceptable, perfect will of God is Jesus Christ. Him alone. Again, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of. The baby is to live by the faith in. That's just the barest first step. Now, you're transfigured by the living by the faith of. And His faith says it is finished at every juncture. It is perfect at every juncture. And all this garbage that's going on in the name of God about your words are faith words, and your words are power, and you're going to create stuff. That's just the same I am of the original fall of Satan. This is the message that you must live, and you must preach, and we must be. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are no exceptions. What troubles me is how can you now possibly be deceived? What can take you on trips that last 2 and 3 months, or 2 and 3 weeks, or 2 and 3 hours, or 2 and 3 minutes, or 2 and 3 seconds? What can it be? What little shiny thing is so attractive? What little fruit of the tree of good and evil is so luscious that you're going to be deceived again? Oh man, you are without excuse.
Deception always involves time. Fantasy that this moment's different than the next, or the last.
Or if I get this, then I'll be good. Or if I go there, then I'll be good. Or if this happens, then I'll be good. Or if this takes place, then everything. It's just laughable. And yet that's all it's being taught.
And that thing, oh man, you're without excuse, that was before we even heard any of this. Now we're really, really without excuse. That was just people without excuse.
That's why I've said, and you can't hear this and ever again be the same. You can listen to it and be the same, but you can't hear it and ever again be the same. Go back to Philippians. Verse 10 again. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And it was said that way so that no condition that you can ever be in is going to be able to deceive you. Now, again, there's all these... I love it. I love this because I used to love the gamble. But there's all these tells in the cosmic poker game. If there is somebody that you haven't forgiven from the heart, then you're not doing this. If there is something that causes you to not be at peace, you're not doing this. If there's not this constant state of internal joy, then you're not doing this. And the only response isn't, well, I'm going to do something different. The response is, Father, forgive me because I've allowed the evil one to be resurrected again. Not only allowed it, I have resurrected him. I have breathed life in him by giving credence to I. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. Now you have been apprehended fully. But because there is no renewing of the mind, that the renewing of the mind is like a sawtooth of a up and down, up and down, or the cork on the waves of a sea, then there's no real sanctification because it's always up and down, up and down, up and down. That's why the exhortation of Paul is be no more like children, tossed to and fro. Anybody have any response? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and wave of isms or doctrine or mind trips by the sleight of men. Sleight of which men? You! The cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Say it again, because Paul said it, because Christ said it. By one offering you have been perfected forever. It's God's good pleasure to freely give you all things. You own all things that happen, all things that exist, all things that have ever existed, and all things that have ever happened for your sake. You are at the top of the pyramid. the highest that man can be. And you denigrate it by your idiotic little ideas and wants. And you make the offering of Christ and the blood of Christ. You make the blood of Christ an unholy thing, and you make his offering not enough for you because you're so special. And it's a stench in the nostrils of God. You are seated with him in the heavenlies. The New Jerusalem is your permanent home. You are under the wings of the cherubim. You're perfect. And it's all finished. Look at Harry. He's been hit in the head with a sledgehammer. What's happened? What's going on? Huh? Anybody else?
Yeah, I saw something here. It's like every new believer is always saying, oh, I want God's will for my life. And they, you know, they just cry out for that. Well, there it is. You know, it's your death. You become a living sacrifice. And then the actual reward is tremendous because it goes to what's good and perfect and acceptable for God.
Well, I mean,
that is good news.
I used to just, two different times at Christ for the Nations when I spoke to the student body, I talked about, you know, because that's all you heard out there. Was, oh, I want the will of God for my life. I'm just searching for the will of God. I was going to speak on something else, and I'd heard that by, just, you know, so many people, because they'd listen to the program, and then they'd come and either scream and yell at me or something. And that's what I talked about that day, was the will of God is Jesus Christ. Your name is not in this book. Your name is not in the book of life. The will of God is Jesus. Now the question is, are you willing to present yourself, yield yourself without exception, without condition, as the living sacrifice, in order that your mind would be renewed? You cannot renew your mind if you're not emptied. And the mind of Christ is constant emptying, so that you live second by second in total dependence on the Father. That is why Jesus implied several times that it's these little children that are the example. Well, they're the example because they're without self-awareness. They're not the example because they cry and yell and scream if they're hurt and whatever. They're the example because they don't yet have the capacity for self-awareness. The little children is always used as the Greek word technon, darling infant, before self-awareness. That's the only ones he ever used as being the example. It's not because little children are so sweet. Little children are monsters. But they're the perfect example because they're without self-awareness. Little children, they're just little antichrists. They're not any better than... That's why it's so crazy for people want to nurture the inner child. I don't have to go there again. No. That's where all psychobabble, all psychology comes from. It's an attempt to nurture and understand that inner child. And the fruit of that. Well, who cares? Oh,
My daddy beat me. My mommy left me. So therefore, since I didn't have a father, I can't understand when the Bible says God is father. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to die to self. What?
I'm just laughing.
Anybody have anything else? Nothing that was said this morning touched anything. All righty. Take it, big guy.